Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke, Matthew chapter 1, if you would. We've been looking at, during this Advent season, at different people in the Scripture that were involved in the Christmas story. We've looked at Zechariah and his story. We've looked at Mary, and now we're going to look at a man named Joseph who was very involved in this Christmas story. It's amazing how God chooses to work through ordinary people. People like you and me. So if you would have turned to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to look at this story and the lesson that Joseph learned about trusting and obeying God. Stand as we read God's word today. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she had given birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word and the story about how you involved a man named Joseph in your story. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. And we'll receive the message you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I like this guy, Joseph, as we look at his story and how he got involved in the story. He's an amazing guy. What can we learn about him? Before he even got this message, we can learn several things about Joseph. He was engaged to a young girl named Mary. Mary, who was going to be the mother of Jesus. They were engaged. In that day, engagements were done a little differently than they do them today. Then they had a meeting. The families met together, and they agreed that these two would get married, and a price was paid to the bride's family, and there was arrangements. There was going to be about a year-long engagement, and then they would finally be married. Now, during this engagement period, they were considered to be married. Even though they didn't live together and they had no intimate relationships, they were considered to be married. And the only way you could split them up is through divorce. Now, Joseph, think about Joseph for a minute. He had his life planned. It was good. You know, he's going to get married. He's got a job. He's got a place to live. Things are good. He's excited, you know, about everything that's going to happen. And that's about to change, all that excitement, because Joseph found out Mary was pregnant. Now, they weren't married. They had no intimate relationships. And Mary's pregnant. After Mary received this message from an angel that she was going to give birth to a son and the son was going to be the Messiah, she was told about her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant, a miraculous birth, and she went and visited Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth saw Mary, she said, my baby leaped within my womb at the sound of your voice. And she says, who am I that the Lord of mother of my Lord would come see me? And Mary was greatly encouraged by Elizabeth. Mary would stay with Elizabeth for about 3 months until Elizabeth gave birth to a son named John. And then Mary's going to go home. But she's 3 months pregnant now, Mary. And it's going to show. Everybody's going to know when she comes back to town that she is pregnant. Now, I'm sure she told Joseph the story. She told her folks the story. But everybody's struggling to believe this story. In fact, Joseph did not believe Mary's story. He did not believe it. Yeah, I guess in a way, you can't blame Joseph. Who would believe this story, really? It's never happened before in human history. Never happened since then. It's a miracle. So you can't really blame him for not believing it. He figured she'd been unfaithful to him. So I'm sure he's disappointed, hurt, maybe even angry. All of his life plans have been blown out of the water by this girl. Did not believe her story. But Matthew adds in this story that this Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good guy. He was a righteous man. He was living the right kind of way, and he was a righteous man. And that's going to determine what he does now. He heard this information about Mary. What is he going to do? And Joseph extended mercy to Mary. You see, in that day, like I said, to be split up from an engagement, you had to get a divorce. You could do it in two ways. You can take them before a judge at the city gate where everybody's going to know and everybody's going to hear everybody's business. You could do that. That would humiliate her, maybe put her in danger of punishment. Or he could divorce her quietly between two witnesses and give her some paper between two witnesses, and that's what he chose to do. He didn't want to shame her. He didn't want to embarrass her. Didn't want to get her into trouble. He extended mercy to her and decided to divorce her quietly. Even though he didn't believe her story, he's still being very merciful. And I think it's really interesting that you know, Mary would give birth to the baby boy Jesus. He'll grow up and begin to minister. And he'll say these amazing words, "Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy." His stepdad, Joseph, was a man of mercy, showed his mother mercy. The angel comes and gives Joseph a message. Joseph has planned to divorce Mary and go marry somebody else, but the angel shows up and says, "I got a message from you from God." We don't know who the angel was for sure this time, but in this dream, he was commanded to take Mary as his wife. He had decided to go marry somebody else. But God says, no, time out. You're going to go back to the original plan. You're going to marry this woman, Mary. And even though the child that she was carrying is not his, the angel says, don't be afraid. Now, I was thinking, why would Joseph be afraid anyway? But the stigma in that time from the community and people that knew him, there would be always some criticism, some, you know, strange looks and talk behind his back. I mean, he's going to have to live with all this weird stuff going on all of his life. He's not going to live an easy life after this. And the angel says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. He was also commanded to name the baby boy Jesus. Now, that was way before ultrasounds, but the angel knows it's a boy because God told the angel, and you're going to name him Jesus, the same name the angel gave Mary to name the baby boy, Jesus, which means Savior. You're going to name him Jesus. And this baby is going to be from the Holy Spirit. That's why you can go ahead and marry Mary. This is a miracle. He's asking Joseph to accept the miracle of the virgin birth, that God can do what he said, that nothing is impossible with God. When Mary asked, when she received this word, she was given this word, how is this going to happen? She said, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One born will be called the Son of God. God's coming to earth through Mary, this miracle. And Joseph is asked to believe this miracle. Joseph was also told that the baby would save people from their sins. Now, I don't know about you, this is a pretty big deal. The Savior is coming to the world. Joseph is asked to be the father for his Savior, the one that will forgive him of his sins. Wow. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem on that night, said, today in the town of David, the angel said, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior. The baby born in Bethlehem came to die in Jerusalem. He came on purpose to die as a Savior of the world, to die for your sins and my sins on the cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins and receive the gift of eternal life. That is such good news. He was also told that the baby would be God with us. The angel said this is all going to happen to fulfill the prophecy that said by Isaiah, the virgin will give birth to a son and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. Now think about Joseph for a minute. This is pretty heady stuff that he's hearing. Wow. You're going to go ahead and accept this woman as your wife. You're going to accept this baby even though he isn't yours. You're going to be a father to him. Joseph is at a crisis. Is he going to believe God? Is he going to trust God? And to his credit, we see in Joseph's story that he does. He does. Joseph believed God's word. Now, I know when you read the scripture, it doesn't actually say that, but we know he did because he took Mary as his wife and he named the baby boy Jesus. He wouldn't have did that if he didn't believe God. He believed God. He trusted in him. You know, in Hebrews 11, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, you know, has all those lists of heroes. I think they left Joseph out. Joseph should be in that list. He's a great man of faith who believed God's amazing promise. And Joseph was obedient to God. He took Mary as his wife as God commanded him. They went to Bethlehem to register, you know, to be, because he was from the town of David. And while they're there, Jesus was born. And, you know, Joseph accepts his whole plan. He obeys God in everything. He takes Mary as his wife. You know, they live together. He doesn't have any union with her until after Jesus was born. And he follows Jesus, God's instruction, whatever God tells him to do. You know, after Jesus was born, he got instructions from an angel from God saying, you need to get out of here because Herod wants to kill your baby boy. Get out of here. And he obeyed and went to Egypt and escaped. When he was in Egypt for several years, he got another message from God and said, Herod's dead, you can go back now. And they came back to Israel. He got another message from God that said, don't go to Judea, it's too dangerous, live in Galilee. And he obeyed. Everything that God told him to do, Joseph obeyed. He learned to trust God and to obey God. And it's going to cost Joseph something to be obedient to God. Life isn't going to be convenient or easy for him, but it's going to be good. It's going to be great in many ways. Joseph became a father for Jesus. Now, the baby boy was born in Bethlehem, and Joseph was there, and he's going to be there throughout his life, through the life of Joseph. He's going to become a real father, call him a stepfather, if you will, to Jesus. You know, Jesus is going to need a father. If Mary would have went out on her own as an unwed woman with a baby in that world, it would be very cruel for her. Jesus needs a father to look after him, to provide for him, to protect him when he's young and vulnerable, and to teach him. And Joseph's going to fill that role. Amazing. He will fill in there. Joseph was a carpenter by trade. Can you imagine him teaching his son to do anything? And him thinking, how am I going to teach the creator of the universe how to make anything? I'm just wondering what's going through his mind when he's having that training time. Joseph experienced a faith adventure. A faith adventure? Joseph's boring life was just blown out of the water. He was just going to have a routine little boring life, and God called him to an adventure. You know, on the night Jesus was born, shepherds heard messages from the angels in the field that the Savior had been born, and they came and they knelt at the feet of Jesus. What was Joseph thinking at that moment? A little later, wise men are going to come. These kings, these wise men with gifts, expensive gifts, that, by the way, are going to pay for their exile to Egypt. You know, God takes care of them. What is Joseph thinking about this? He never would experience any of this if he hadn't trusted in God and obeyed God. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Now, God is still at work in our world. And he still involves people like you and I in his work, in his plan. Just like Joseph got to be a part of the plan of God, we can be part of the plan of God. And that comes by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and then simply doing what Joseph did. Trust and obey. It's a life of adventure. I want to share a story in closing that I think kind of illustrates this life of adventure. The guy says, I used to think of God as my observer, my judge, keeping track of the things I did wrong, so as to know whether I merited heaven or hell when I die. He was out there sort of like a president. I recognized his picture when I saw it, but I didn't really know him. But later on, when I met Jesus, it seemed as if life was rather like a bike, but it was a tandem bike. And I noticed that Jesus was in the back helping me pedal. I don't know just when it was when he suggested we change, but life has not been the same since I took the back seat to Jesus, my Lord. He makes life exciting. When I had control, I thought I knew the way. It was rather boring but predictable. It was the shortest distance between two points. But when he took the lead, he knew delightful long cuts up mountains and through rocky places and at breakneck speeds. It was all I could do to hang on. Even though it often looked like madness, he said, "Pedal." I worried and was anxious and asked, "Where are you taking me?" He laughed and didn't answer. And I learned to start trusting him. I forgot my boring life and entered into the adventure. And when I'd say I'm scared, he'd lean back and touch my hand. He took me to people with gifts that I needed, gifts of healing and acceptance and joy. They gave me their gifts to take on my journey, our journey, my Lord and mine. When we were off again, he said, "Give the gifts away. They're extra baggage, too much weight." So I did to the people we met, and I found in giving I received, and still our burden was light. I did not trust him at first in control of my life. I thought he'd wreck it, but he knows bike secrets, knows how to make it bend to tight, sharp corners, jump to clear high rocks, fly to short and scary passages. And I'm learning to shut up and pedal in the strangest places. And I'm beginning to enjoy the view and the cool breeze on my face with my delightful, constant companion, Jesus. And when I'm sure I just can't do anymore, he just smiles and says, "Pedal." God has called us to a life of adventure. Amen. Trusting him, obeying him. And I encourage you to do that. And just see what happens. See what God's going to do. We're going to sing a song in closing today that kind of goes along with that theme. There was a man that was at a D.L. Moody revival service. He was a song leader. And heard a guy gave up to give a testimony. And the guy got up to give a testimony. He said, "You know, I'm not sure about all this, what you're telling me." But he says, "I'm going to trust God and I'm going to obey him." And that guy was inspired to write this song called "Trust and Obey." There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So we're going to sing that song together. It'll be kind of like our prayer to God. But as we sing it, if you need to pray, the altar is open. It's a place where you can come and pray. And we'll pray together. Let's stand together and let's sing it.